And now, still not ready to throw in the royal blue towel, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Couple of good-looking kids.
I'm telling you.
Couple of good-looking kids out in the hallway.
There they are.
Take after their mom, thank God. Because taking after Nate, Take after mom.
Yes.
Good news. Good-looking kids.
Which means they won't be gray when they're 30. Like Nate was.
Which is what Nate needed to not look 12.
It's odd. Everything else about Nate, you think, gosh, he looks so much younger than his actual age. But his hair is completely the opposite.
Just
gray when he was 30.
Yeah. Which I don't know anything about that. So,
Neither do I anymore.
I told Nate one time, he's like, hey, hair's going all gray. I'm like, dude, you got everything. Like, you look young, but then the hair gives you I got to believe this guy because he's got gray hair. So so you have credibility of the gray hair. I earned him. But yet you look like you're 22 years old.
He gets to be a distinguished looking man for 40 years. That's not fair.
Yeah, because eventually you start to be tired and worn out looking. See Frank, see Pete.
You're right.
No, actually, Frank is probably Nate at that age.
That's true.
Pete might have gone after life a little hard.
A smidge.
Yeah.
Just a smidge.
We'll see. Not everybody, can have the total genetic package, right? Go ahead and mark that. I'm sure. Oh, good. He wasn't at his seat. Good. He's not at his post. He ran out in the hallway.
Excellent.
So I don't have to worry about that.
Rob sees kids. He's just like, he's going to have like 50 kids one day.
He just said, he goes, what's that? Never mind. You just never mind. Snot nose.
Rob really wants children.
Just got
that fatherly instinct to him.
Is that right?
Always has. It's all he ever talks about. Man, I want kids.
Step in the hall, talk to sales for 1 second.
It's like, man, I want kids so bad.
You know, I had a Corona with Rob, and
that ever came up.
A friend. Oh. I don't know what do I label?
Friend seems fine. The less people know about my life, the better. I'm like Will Harris for this station.
Are we still in the friend zone?
No.
No?
But I'm like Will Harris, man. I don't want people knowing stuff about me.
So what is the label then if it's not friend?
She's my girlfriend.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
And that happened.
It's always good. It's not really that he wants everything to be quiet. He just doesn't want Jake to know.
Right.
The only guy he doesn't want to know anything is standing right behind him getting his stuff together. That's awesome.
Fantastic. I thought it would be like the...
You were going to be in some serious... If you didn't come forward with that statement, I guess we're just friends,
like,
huh?
She's listening.
She never misses the program. Huge fan of the program.
The great, late, great Mitch Hedberg, one of my favorite lines of his was... I don't have a girlfriend.
Wait a minute. A comedian that's passed?
Yes.
That never happens.
No. And passed young.
Yeah.
Well, never happens.
Yeah, it never happens.
He says, I don't have a girlfriend. I just know a girl who would be very angry to hear me say that. That's Rob right now.
There you go. Rob's got a girlfriend. Rob's got a girlfriend. Remember when
you're
like.
Sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
We
first
hope.
Comes love, then comes marriage, then comes children in a baby carriage
or something like that. Yeah, okay.
Nana, nana, boo, boo.
Yeah, what we pride ourselves on here is being the mature show. Yes.
Life is just tall grade school. That's all it is.
I'd like to believe it's a little more.
Life is often tall grade school.
Okay, fair. Oh, this building is tall grade school.
Yes,
100%.
There's just no hall monitor. And
Our work life. Is tall grade school. Yeah. Sure, there's a hall monitor. It's a loke.
That's true.
He is the hall monitor.
Stands
right?
there.
Yeah.
All right, get to class.
And then there's the guy in the hall that you can't figure out what he does. Like is this guy, he's never in class. He's always in the hallway. That's Derek.
Yes. Like, do you actually go to the school?
What would you say you do around here?
Are you the Spicoli of... I'm in my class. I am today.
The beauty of it is Haglund just likes to hear his name mentioned. So he's like thrilled.
Twice.
He's like, sure, I'm the guy. Yeah, that's me. I'm the guy. No such thing as bad pub.
I don't care what comes after it. Just want the name.
All right, Brian Haney's coming up at 10. He's got some splaining to do. Not really. I mean, he said, hey, this is a big game. They got to get a win, and they didn't. He is the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, they being the Jayhawks football team. And we'll get his thoughts on the game against West Virginia. Can they bounce back? I don't know.
No.
Hang on. Let me shake the magic eight ball.
Signs point to no.
I couldn't remember. What was another one that was like not good?
Yeah. No chance.
They're getting three touchdowns at home, and none of us were like, you know what? Let's think about it. No.
Yeah,
Mountaineers.
Sorry, Charlie.
Country road.
And I'm not that big on the Mountaineers. I'll be honest with you. And I'm just like, I gotta put them in that category. And so we'll see. We'll talk about, what Brian sees and what KU can do to get things going in the right direction. That's coming up here. End of this hour, as a matter of fact. Bob Glauber, he's our NFL insider. From the New York Newsday, he talks about all things NFL.
And, of course, college football, because he's an expert on.
He's a guru.
Yes.
On the college football. A guru.
He is.
Maybe we'll ask him a little funny ha-ha in the Final Four about that. Two-minute drill coming up at noon around the country, talking to the people, covering the stories, where they're happening. We haven't done it in a while. We're long overdue. Fresh batch of Danny Unleashed.
Oh, so many things.
Fresh episode. You know, it's like the guy with the beard sitting in his cabin trying to write Swords and Sorcerers. What's it called, Rob? I know it's Game of Thrones. I was like, one time I couldn't think of it. I'm like, what is it?
Lord
Swords
of the Rings?
And Sorcerers?
Am I Peter Jackson?
So Rob really enjoys when I call Game of Thrones Swords and Sorcerers. Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons, what's it called?
What's that thing again?
I love how, you were a nerd if you played Dungeons when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You played the Dungeons and Dragons in the 7th, 8th grade, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. You're a nerd. What a nerd. And now you watch Dungeons and Dragons, and it's the cool, hip thing.
And if you don't watch it, you're a nerd.
I think it shows the power of gratuitous sex and violence.
Yes.
Because really, that's if you just drop softcore porn into the middle of Dungeons and Dragons, it's a hit.
Suddenly cool.
Yeah.
Suddenly cool.
That's what everybody watches it for, right?
Did you get those slings and arrows in the youth? Were you a Dungeons and Dragons? You don't strike me as a demon.
No, I played once. You know what I liked? Graph paper. So I like drawing things. That's it. I'm like, what? 20-sided dice. Well, you lose. Why do I lose? Well, it was an 18. I'm like, this sucks. I'm done. Let's go get a ball. Let's go, not that I was any good at that either, but let's go play football. Come on, let's do something.
You strike me as more of a chess guy.
Are you calling me a nerd?
No. I think if you'd put your mind to it, you probably would have been a pretty good chess player.
Okay, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
Because you,
I'm not.
It takes
thank you
strategy and patience in that regard. I mean, there's some things. I think there are probably some areas where you don't maybe have the most patience. Maybe while you're in your car.
What?
In your car, but
what? What? All right. Were you a Dungeons and Dragons guy?
No.
No. Okay.
And I tried to be a chess player, but I wasn't good enough.
That's probably me too, if you can't win, quit, right? Isn't that the old adage?
My friend used to always, we'd always play, and he'd take his queen off the board.
He would give you that?
Just to see if I could win, and I never beat him. Of course, he was one of the top, at one point he was one of the top 30 chess players in the four-state area or something like that. He was 25 years ago, so he was way up there, but he would just come over and say,
What does he do now?
He's a professional gambler. After 15 years as a computer programmer and data analyst and stuff like that, he is the strategy guy.
It's funny how you and I know a lot of unsavory characters.
Yes. He is the strategy guy.
Okay.
Awesome. And he has unbelievable patience in cranking out every single detail. Let me find the edge. That's how he got good at. That's how he was good at board games. That's how he's good at what he does now.
So. Okay, so here's the deal: you got a kid who's like killing it at Monopoly, or no? Just got to be chess.
Any game that requires a strategy and forethought and being able to see,
doesn't Monopoly just the ultimate strategy game?
There is some strategy involved, but the ability to see not only see what you need to do, but what your opponent's going to do, and I mean that's That takes some.
You got an 8-year-old playing Risk. Look out, he's going to be a gambler. That's what you're saying?
Could be.
Okay, good to know.
or a general.
Rob, Risk was a game that was played. Oh, you know a Risk. Okay.
Yeah, it's in a Seinfeld. They're in the subway. You think the Ukraine is weak? Ukraine is junk to you?
I did not see that one. There's a reference to Risk?
Yeah, Newman and awesome. Kramer are playing Risk.
That's great. That was great.
Some comic had this bit about Hitler. Clearly never played Risk when he was a kid.
I think Risk might have been written partially by Hitler's failures.
Right.
Don't fight a land war in Asia on two fronts. Yes, you know, the rule one, you know. Yeah, there were some books he could have stood to have read rather than burnt that might have clued him in to a poor strategy or two.
So as we were saying, Chiefs.
Yeah, so you're just going to skip the Royals?
As we were saying, Royals, Chiefs, KU,
K-State, you know, Sporting.
As we were talking about.
Always a topic, like it always is. Stump the Chumps at 1, and we'll give you the things you need to know. That's what's going on here in the program. So thank you for joining us here on a Friday. We do have many, many things we want to get to share with you to question whether or not the Royals are still alive. We sat downstairs, not you, Curtis, because you called it a day early yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But Rob and I, continuing to work as we do till 8 or 9 at night last night. And we were chatting about the fact of like, okay, so what are we thinking for tomorrow? And I said, well, it's all Chiefs, right? We got to go football. It's Chiefs and it's college football. And he's like, really? The local college football? And I was like, okay, point taken. I said, unless Jason Vargas goes out and throws BBs and the Royals get a win and the Twins lose and it's 2.5. Did we get enough of that in the Vargas throwing BBs to actually make the Royals the lead topic, or are they still dead? Kevin said, he goes, I cannot bring it. I heard this last night, when I was here at the station listening, because we were here till 8. He said, I can't say the Royals are in it or are alive. That was what the term he used. He's like, mathematically, are they alive? Yes, but I just can't bring myself because they just don't. But this damn wild card race, are they alive? Are they wholeheartedly alive? No, not really. No, I mean, like, mathematically, yes. But is it the kind of thing that you look at and say, well, we have a realistic chance? I don't right now. Had the Twins lost at 2.5, I still would have said no. Like, to give you an idea of what the Royals have to do to get in front of the Twins, and by the way, the Angels are still, and the Rangers are both now, still in front of them by one game. But just let's just talk about passing the Twins. Like, you see 2.5 games. Mm-hmm. The Twins are going to take a day off when the Royals play the Yankees. So that's how the half is still sitting there. The Royals now need to go. Let's say the Twins, who have 9 games left, correct? Is that right?
Yes.
Or 10 games left.
No,
9 games.
They're 79 and 74.
Yeah, so 9 games left. If the Twins go 4-5. Right? Does that seem possible?
Yeah, sure. 83, 89, or 79, yeah.
The Royals need to go 9-2.
To tie.
And just for fun, here's the Twins' schedule. They got 3 against in Detroit, 3 in Cleveland, and 3 against Detroit.
8-2 to tie.
8-2, I'm sorry. Yes, 8-2. And the Twins have what?
Tigers for 3 on the road, Indians for 3 on the road, and then Tigers again for 3 at home. So you got 6 with the Tigers and then a 3 at Cleveland. So you got to become big Tiger fans if you want to dream a dream.
And
when you have to do more than just dream that dream, you have to dream that either Texas or Los Angeles doesn't win 8 of 10.
Yeah.
And overturn the apple cart. But that's what it would take for them to get to 84. They each have to go 8-2, one of the two. But
I think the one thing that I take away from this is that they aren't that far away from being a playoff team.
Mm-mm.
Right? So this year when we review it, again, is it a special year? Sure it is. where like everybody's kind of like the Jays are kind of coming to the end of their run. The Rangers feel like they're coming to the end of their run. They traded off Yu Darvish. They should be questioned. I really think the Twins, if their bullpen ends up beating them, because you know they traded off their closer, for God's sake, down the stretch. I've been on that kick all along. Like, wait a minute, are you sure you're out of it? That you should be moving this? I mean, they better have gotten something for those pieces. But the Royals, I think one of the things that's a good lesson to learn, and that's what we've been talking about here about the Royals coming down the stretch, is what lessons do we take away? I certainly think one of the lessons you take away from the Royals is the fact that, you know, yes, this didn't work, but you're going to quickly be able to look back through the schedule and go, oh, yeah, that was the game where so-and-so blew this, and that was the game. And there are going to be 20 games where you go, if they miss by two games on the wild card, you're very easily going to be able to find three games where you go, well, that was it. That was the difference.
Yep.
And I think if there's a lesson here, it's one, don't start 10 and 20.
Yeah.
And I think it is one where the Royals, I think Ned Yost is going to be guilty of his loyalty, which really was, I think, at the heart of the chemistry that came together for the Royals in 14 and 15 is what cost him this year. Like at the end of this year, you know, unless they lose all of them here going forward. But at the end, and really you could take right now as the snapshot if you want and say, okay, here's where they were. And if they don't believe anymore that they're in it, and they were talking about it post-game, Joel talking to Melky Cabrera and talking about how they're going to give it a run and they want to go for it, which you have to do as a big leaguer. And by the way, if they're still mathematically alive come Monday, I'm going to declare this season a successful year. Because if you're in a playoff hunt with 1 week to go, that's a successful year for me. Now, if you just do that every year, get eliminated in the last week for 20 straight years, is that acceptable as a franchise? No, it's not. You have to get in the postseason from time to time. You need to win a division title from time to time. Yes, I you have to do more than that. But in the context of what is a successful year for a fan base, look, there's a reason to talk Royals baseball today. I'm not saying it's a bigger story than the Chiefs. Chiefs at Chargers is bigger. The Chiefs are 2-0. But there is, and we're going to talk a lot of Chiefs. Like I said, Bob Glauber will be with us. We'll talk NFL football and Chiefs football with him. But come Monday, if they're not mathematically eliminated, then I call it a successful season. You know, if the Chiefs play, you know, go into a 16th game with that 16th game having meaning, that's a successful season. If you're eliminated from the postseason after the 16th week, or I guess I should say the 17th week, the 16th game, but if after 15 games you're eliminated, you had an unsuccessful season as an NFL franchise. I think what you want is to give your fan base a full regular season belief that you got a shot to get there. Now, again, big picture, long-term 10-year view of it, do you have to get to the playoffs during a 10-year run? Of course you do. A couple of times, at least. But this year is going to be considered a successful season for me as a Royals fan. And, yeah, the rest of the American League dictated that. But the Royals are part of what made the rest of the American League what it is. The Jays decided we're done and didn't go add to their ball club because the Royals had beaten them down. And they're like, we don't have enough. And it's the Cleveland Indians' time to shine. And that's reality. The Royals are hanging on with a shot, and so I'll take it. I'll take that as a successful year. And I will say this, as I watch this team right now, what happened to Jason Vargas in the middle?
Yeah, because I'll raise my hand and claim it. There was at the end of that kind of run where he was bad, I was like, he's that arm's toast. He's not going to win. People were saying they should shut him down, and I was okay with that. I mean, he just can't – never saw this coming.
Should Mike Minor have been the closer earlier? Was the loyalty that was shown to Kelvin Herrera and running him out there when he is either hurt or when he gets into trouble, begs out of the game? You know, it's odd how when things are going good, he's fine. But when he gets into trouble, he's hurt. And which makes perfect sense. Well, the reason why he's not normal Kelvin Herrera and lights out is because his arm's bothering him and it's really flaring up now. Okay, I get that. That's not usually the baseball machismo, though. And he makes it very clear when things aren't going well. He starts shaking the arm out, starts flexing the hand. He makes it very clear, hey, look at me. I'm not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these little things, I do think one of the things we can look at and we need to evaluate, because who knows? I mean, I know Kevin speculated that he thinks Ned and Dayton might not be back next year. Well, Ned Yost is back. I think in your Dayton Moore, you got to think about, okay, what do I want as a manager? Well, I don't think you can go get the same guy. And I don't think you can try to recreate Ned. And I think if you want to try to find a quality that's better than Ned, his loyalty needs to be checked a little bit. The passion and loyalty that he had for his players made 14 and 15's teams incredibly strong, stronger than their individual pieces. But it also really cost his team this year. There's no doubt Ned Yost played a role. And he should have been mixing and matching, and he should have been looking for other closers, and he should have been willing to go to Mike Minor quicker because Mike Minor's been their most consistent reliever this year.
Even though he hasn't. I would say when you consider Moylan splits, I would say Minor's been the most consistent guy from front to back.
He wasn't able to mix and match. He did that last night. Should have been mixing and matching before this. He mixed and matched with Moylan and Buchter to get through the seventh.
Yeah.
That should have been done more. We talked about that at spring training, and we never really did see it. You didn't see him going left, right on big games.
More than he had in the past, but not nearly as much as he probably needed to do. I can see why maybe there's some reticence to say, well, here's a guy who's been in the league for however many years. He does not have a single professional save ever. Let's make him the closer. The guy's really never seen the ninth inning in that situation before in his professional life.
I think we understand a little bit of resistance
to that, but he clearly showed he can do it.
But we would have to acknowledge that the guy you are going to has 12?
Yeah.
Like, what did he have coming into this year?
Yeah, that this isn't a normal year, so you do kind of have to throw a convention out the window.
And that's what I think the story is this year, that this was a scramble. This whole year was a fire drill.
Yeah.
And I think the Royals did all right, man. They did okay. They didn't do great. They did good, maybe even. Maybe I'd say better than okay. They did good. I mean, I'll bring it up again. Yordano Ventura died. That's not a normal offseason. No. That is an awful offseason.
And he didn't die, I mean, like it's a great time, but
no.
At a time when it was going to be very difficult to make up for that, not only on the team, but emotionally. And here they are. They still are playing six games ahead of where their run differential is.
Yeah,
so once again, playing above where they should be.
They are, and Ned deserves credit for that. The fact that they do it every year, Ned obviously has something to do with it.
4 years in a row.
But I do think if you look at it, if Ned evaluates himself, which I assume he does, you look back at it and say, look, we were in a scramble mode the whole way. We should have, there are things I should have been mixing and matching instead of trying to recreate. Because I know they talked about mixing and matching in the pen, but they never really did it. They kept trying to recreate HDH. They kept trying to push Soria in as that eighth inning guy. And for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, he did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the better move would have been that, listen, I got to go matchups. I got to go right versus right. I got to go left versus left. I can't just rely on Kelvin Herrera. I'm going to have a quicker hook as a closer because I cannot just rely on the fact that this guy's going to nail it down. That's one of the things as I watched last night and watched him mix and match. I'm like, this is a little bit more of what I thought the year would be.
Yeah.
And we didn't see it as much as maybe we thought. And, Alex Gordon's coming around finally in the sixth month of the season.
Yeah.
We've talked about his numbers and said, is Alex Gordon fixed? Last night, a couple of walks. I mean, was it worth it? Okay, you got him going in September.
Which, as you mentioned yesterday, is only ahead of spring training stats as far as a reliable indication of how good a player is playing. Yeah. Because they are facing a lot of guys. They're facing teams that are out of it. They're facing pitchers who wouldn't be on the roster had that team not been out of it. So how much do you put into that?
913-3-810-810, the phone number, 913-3-810-810. We'll take your phone calls. Coming up next, Brian Haney a little bit later on, Bob Glauber coming up, but your phone calls are next. Chiefs Sporting Royals, K-State, Missouri, KU, always a topic here on the program. 913-3-810-810. Welcome to the Friday edition of the program.